Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes along with Vince Farrar. Pleased to be joined by Rob Lewis of AllQuest.com. Rob, how you doing?
I'm doing well, guys. How about yourself?
Doing great. Thanks for joining us. Eve Pons has announced he's returning, I think, to nobody's surprise. But what do you think that does for Rick Barnes' team that he's got the reigning SEC Defensive Player of the Year back on the roster?
Oh, I think it means, I mean, and this is what it, you know, it felt like when last season ended, and with the recruiting class coming in, that Tennessee is one of the favorites, probably along with Kentucky, to win the SEC championship, to be a top 10 team, to be a team that's capable of making a deep run in March. You know, without Eve, you only have one senior on the team. With Eve, you bring back your starting front court. As you mentioned, the SEC Defensive Player of the Year, a second team All-SEC selection, and your leading scorer in John Fulkerson, a guy who, you know, like Pons, has gotten better each and every year he's been here. Expect to see, you know, continue develop from both of those guys based on how hard they work, based on what we've seen from Rick Barnes and his staff over the 5 years that they've been here in terms of getting improvement out of guys. And I really like the mix experience and young talent that Tennessee has on this team. You're bringing in, you know, two five-star, you know, freshmen in Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer, who have been generating a lot of buzz just in the off-season stuff that they've been doing this summer. You're bringing back a couple of sophomores that got thrown into the fire last year, and Josiah Jordan James and Santiago Vistoni, who, you know, should be better from the experience, and in Josiah's case is healthy. Just has a chance to be a really, really talented team, Jimmy. I think when you look back in 10 years and take, you know, what people do in the NBA into account, I think this team is going to look more talented than the 31-win team from 2 years ago, just in terms of raw talent. Now, but can they be that good? Can they produce like that? Now, that I don't know, because so much is going to depend on the freshman.
I do not think Pons would have been a first-round draft pick had he stayed in the draft. For him to reach that level, what does he have to do his senior year?
I don't know that he can, Jimmy. I mean, I don't mean to be negative on him. I don't know if he's got that kind of ceiling as a skilled basketball player. No, I think he can play in the NBA. I definitely think that. But I don't know that he's a first-round pick. To do that, I mean, he would have to really be a knockdown three-point shooter, not somebody that makes, that, you know, comes off screens and, you know, pulls up off the dribble and hits threes. I mean, just a guy that makes open three-point shots at a 40% clip. And he would really have to, I mean, I think really have to improve as a ball handler. And I'm not sure that he is that kind of a, I'm not sure that he has those kind of skills. Now, athletically, he doesn't need to do anything. He can go up there and play defense, I think, right now. And I think that's what he will do. But to really improve his value, he's going to have to be a guy that, in addition to be able to guard three or four positions, I think he's going to have to be somebody that can really help space the floor. And I mean, I think he can do that. I think he can be a guy that stands in the corner and makes threes. I mean, he made 35% from three last year. But I just don't know that he can get himself to where he's a first-round guy. Now, maybe I'm wrong. I don't want to I'm not trying to sound critical, Dave, because I certainly think that he can play at that level. I think he will play at that level. But I think as a defensive specialist type of guy.
Rob, there was a little bit of announcement deadline drama yesterday, as you know, with Sean Farnham pulling back his tweet on Pons initially and then going back and announcing it along with Jeff Goodman after that, which maybe had nothing to do with Pons himself. But do you think that this was a difficult decision? Do you have a feel for how difficult a decision this was for Pons?
Oh, yeah. I definitely think it was a difficult decision. I think that's why it took so long. I think he definitely toyed with the idea of leaving. I know, and in talking to some people close to the program on Sunday, that they felt like he was going to come back, but they didn't know that for sure. You know, he's giving me the indication that that's what was going to happen, and I certainly feel like that was it was a decision that he really struggled with, because I think he had a great chance of getting drafted, but, you know, somewhere in the second round, and there were just no guarantees. And this is just such an, you know, unprecedented time for these kids. I mean, he didn't have the chance like Admiral Schofield did 3 years ago, when Admiral, you know, had the chance to go to the draft combine, got some very specific feedback on what he needed to do to see where to be drafted, and came back to Tennessee and had a great senior season, got drafted in the second round. I mean, Eve and all the other underclassmen in his shoes didn't have the chance to gather that kind of information and make an informed decision. So they were either going to have to roll the dice and hope they got picked. And, he decided not to take that chance. Now, another thing that made me think that he was, that he would be willing to do that is because, the prospect of not getting taken and playing overseas, I don't think would have been as daunting to him as it would be for, a kid that grew up in America. He could go back home and play and get paid. So I think that was another, element of this that put some uncertainty into it. And I will say this. Now, Jimmy, I don't know if you saw this. There was an article in The Athletic last week. And I've done some research, and apparently it's true. While yesterday was the deadline for the NCAA's deadline to declare for the draft and maintain your eligibility, the NBA's deadline to declare for the draft is August 17th. So the way I read that is that that's kind of a loophole for all these guys. A two-week window to maybe get some, to maybe change their mind. Now, that's from an article from The Athletic from Sam Fitzsiems, who does a great job. I would imagine that he's correct. And so I wonder if all these guys just really don't have two more weeks to, kind of gather information and make a decision.
Interesting. I know the preseason polls, Rob, that everybody's got their own version. They're not gospel. They don't mean anything. But we've seen a little bit of a variance in opinion on the ones that have been put out since all the draft deadline declarations have been made, like Eve Pons. And I've seen Tennessee as low as 20 from Jeff Goodman. And I think Seth Davis had Tennessee at 11. Maybe there's more. Where would you put Tennessee in terms of a preseason?
I would lean more towards where Seth has them. I think Tennessee is a fringe top 10, 8, 9, 10, 11 team. I don't think they're a top 5 team. I mean, I think they could get there if the freshmen are as good as advertised, if Victor Bailey or Viscovi or Josiah can nail down the point guard position. If they identify a third big man, is E.J. Anasicki the legit guy off the bench who can come in and play 20 minutes? Is Jiros Plagic or Olivier and Camwar, are they better than they were a year ago? But I don't know as much about what everybody else in the country has as a guy like Seth Davis or Jeff Goodman. I kind of have tunnel vision looking at Tennessee and to a lesser extent the rest of the SEC. But I think Tennessee definitely has the potential to be a top 10 team.
Rob, if you had to project right now with Pons returning, assuming, what would be your starting lineup?
I don't know what's going to happen at point guard, Jimmy. After that, I think you've got Pons and Fulkerson locked in at the 4 and the 5. I have a very hard time thinking that Keon and Jaden are not going to start at the wings. And then I think you've got some intense competition for point guard. I think the guys I just mentioned, Victor Bailey, now eligible after sitting out his transfer year from Oregon, Josiah James, and Santiago. Springer is good enough to where he can play some point guard, so if you wanted to start Josiah on the wing or Viscovi on the wing, I think you could do that. I don't think you necessarily want to put all that on a freshman, though, at least to start the year. So I think those four are locked in, and then I think it comes down between Bailey, Viscovi, and Josiah, who emerges. And I think it's going to be, like I said, intense. And I think all three of those guys are good players. I almost lean towards Bailey being the guy and Josiah coming off the bench.
I had, and position-wise, this may not work. I had Bailey, Pons, Fulkerson, Springer, and James. So my difference would be have James.
Keon Johnson is going to start. You write that in stone.
Okay, I'm going to write it in. Well, can I write it in pen?
You can write it. You can write it a Sharpie for sure.
Okay. Oh well, there you go. Never mind. End of discussion on that one. No, I was debating between Johnson and James on that other starting spot. Why do you like Johnson so much? I know he comes in with a great defensive skill set.
I'm basing that on reports I've gotten from people that have been around workouts.
Okay. All right. He's very impressive. Are they as high on Springer as they are Johnson?
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, I don't know about as high, but certainly, lives up to the hype. Looks good. I think that people have been surprised at how good Keon is. I mean, they knew he was good, expected him to be good. I think he has impressed a lot of people with just how good he is, how hard he works, his attitude for a freshman about coming in every day and getting better, and just the competitive aspect he brings to just, you know, kind of mundane drills.
And if Bailey wins a point guard job, why? Why would he do so?
I think defense, I think Rick was really frustrated all last year with the way Tennessee was able to defend opposing point guards, the way they were able to put pressure on the ball after Lamonte was out, I should say. I think that was one of his biggest quibbles with his team, and I think that's something that Bailey excels at. Now, I don't think he's a pure point guard. He's not a volume shooter or anything like that. I think he's just, earlier in his career, he's been more comfortable playing off the ball, but you know, he spent most of the year he was sitting out playing the point, defending the point practice, and I think they're really going to like him defensively. Now, I could be wrong. I'm not saying he's going to win it, Jimmy. I just, if I had to handicap it, I give him a slight edge.
How do you think James would handle coming off the bench?
I think he'd be okay with it. I think he's a great teammate, and I still think he'd be playing 20, 25 minutes a game coming off the bench, like we've seen Lamonte do a couple years ago, like Jordan Bowden did a couple years ago. I think he would get a lot of minutes, and I think he's so versatile, Jimmy, which is one of the reasons. I mean, he could play three or four different spots for you, so he could sub in. You know, he could come in and relieve Ponds at the four. I think Tennessee could do, or even a lineup that I think will be – I'll be interested to see. They have so much flexibility with Ponds back and with a guy like James. You hear all this talk in the NBA, if you watch about positionless basketball, you know, just put your five best guys out there. I'll be interested to see if they don't tinker with – I mean, you can't do this for 30 minutes a game, but sometimes putting Ponds at the five, you know, he's big, he's strong enough, can jump. He can guard a lot of bigs. I mean, he can guard a 6'10 guy at 6'6", 6'7". And you know, how many super offensively skilled 6'10 guys are in college basketball? Not a ton. So Ponds at the five, Josiah at the four, and then some combination of Keon, Springer, Viscovi, Bailey at the guard spots. I think that would be a really fun lineup.
Is there any chance, Inosuke could start?
I don't think so. No way. He's not taking the spot. We're forced spot.
Can I write that in stone?
You can write that in stone. Not unless somebody gets hurt. But I have heard good things about him. I have heard good things about him. Really, really like it. Very intense guy. Feel like he's going to be a high-level rebounder. You know, he averaged over 12 rebounds a game at the low major level. I'm not saying he's going to average 12 rebounds a game here, but they feel like he's going to be a big-time rebounder and certainly brings the kind of toughness and physicality that they were looking for when they added him.
Rob Lewis of VolQuest.com.